Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Mentioned it a little bit earlier. Padres did not get a ton of help yesterday. In addition to losing, the Dodgers completed their sweep of the Seattle Mariners.
Got a little spicy there. Did you see that?
What happened? No, I didn't actually see the end of the game.
Jack Flaherty hit Randy Arozarena in the I thought it was in the butt, but it was actually in that spot right above the butt. So it was kind of like in the
small
like
in of the back,
the kidney. So it was curveball, but Randy, speaking of Manson lamps, Randy looked at glass at Flaherty like, I'm going to kill you, and just kind of stared at him. Now, they had the interesting
is that
thing
frustration
was,
coming out, though, because just, the Mariners are not hitting.
And Randy's been horrible.
He's been terrible. Turner hasn't done what they were hoping. They were trying to, you know, juice up their offense, and it just hasn't worked.
I think it's frustration because it hurts. Yeah, just like Jerickson Profar throwing his helmet down, spiking his helmet after he gets, you know, 94. Or no, it was actually a breaking ball that hit him in the knee, but he's been hit the knee 20 times. And so, yeah, you just get frustrated, and you're like, I'm not really mad at you. I'm just mad that it happened. You know, like, it's not, it's like when your kid hurts you. You can't get mad at your kid. Your kid hits you in the throat or pokes you in the eye. You're like, God dang, dude. You're mad, but you're not mad at them. They didn't do it on purpose.
Rip your head off.
Right, exactly.
I've done that with my wife before.
Of course.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at the situation. I'm hurt.
Yeah,
now,
it's
or
just,
whatever.
You hurt me. I know that. I know you didn't mean to, but oh my God. But then.
He got hit, and then it was his next at bat.
Next at bat.
Flew out.
He flies out. And he's running down to first, and Flaherty starts jawing at him. And then Randy's like, what? And then the benches, you know, come out, and Flaherty is talking trash, walking away, which is, yeah, really
it's the Dodger way.
The Dodger way. Kind of happens a lot.
Diamondbacks rally. They were down 6-3. I thought, well, if Potters lose, at least the Diamondbacks are going to lose. Nope. They come back to beat the Marlins 10-8 and complete a sweep and salvage a Florida split after they got swept in Tampa.
Yeah.
They actually ended up 3-3, so they're probably pretty happy with that result. The Giants did lose to the White Sox 6-2.
Bob Melvin got killed.
I mean, they took 2 of 3 in the series, but you really hope they're not counting on the sweep when you play the White Sox at this point.
You had Logan Webb, who was dominating, and he was at, I want to say it was like 92 pitches, and Bomel pulled him, and they coughed it up, and you lost to the White Sox, and it's like, whoo.
Eno mentioned, you know, it could be all 4 playoff teams from the West, but that would require the Giants winning some of these. All 4.
All 4.
Well, you know, all 3 wild cards and a division champion. And that'll require the Giants winning some close games. And they're having the same difficulties that the Padres did last year under Bob Melvin. 1-run ball games.
But they won those the year before.
They did. I'm not saying it's Bob Melvin. I'm just, whatever floated down to San Diego last year floated up to San Francisco a little bit with him this year. And I'm sure last year, it wasn't a 1-run game, and I'm sure losing to the White Sox is not going to take anybody out of the
torture chamber. Yeah, and listen,
8 innings?
I
saw your tweet.
He went 93 pitches.
I saw your tweet.
I'm not saying anything, because we still have to play the White Sox. And you
like
want
the 3 most terrifying games of the year left in the White
Sox. I mean, we had our Rockies scene, and that sucked, man. But this team,
nothing good can happen against the White Sox.
I mean,
you win all 3.
You're supposed to.
All you get is the 3 wins that everyone else got and you should be getting. You lose any of them and you feel like
you're like, we are the worst.
Oh.
It's going to be excruciating.
And Dodgers also have 3 against the White Sox left.
Yeah. So it's not fun, man. It's not fun to play those teams at the end of the year that are literally sitting there going, this would be fun. this would be really fun to beat a team that really needs these games. I mean, yeah, those guys are playing for something. They're playing for jobs. We talk about it all the time. You know, they're going to give their best effort. And so, yeah, it's just those games are excruciating.
And then there's the Mets who got the walk-off win, mentioned Jesse Winker's home run and crazy celebration, and they took 2 of 3 from the Orioles, and now they come to Petco Park for 4. We'll look ahead at that series coming up. But the Mets are the team. Well, you know, you think the Padres are snake bit and, you know, cursed. Mets fans will fight tooth and nail and argue that they are the most cursed baseball team out there. And they're trying to, I mean, is the bottom going to drop out from the Mets at some point?
Hopefully
Mets fans
today.
Always think they will.
Hopefully it
Maybe
starts
this is,
today.
This is when it happens. So we'll talk about that coming up. Right now, though, Paulie's got some headlines. It's time for our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
2 stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And 1 story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3, The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a hoy? Oh, yeah.
All right.
So, just a few minutes ago, we had Eno Saris on the show. You guys asked him about Joey Votto, and he called him a troll. He is a troll. And he meant that in a very complimentary way, as do I. I thought Joey Votto, I put it on my Instagram story yesterday when he announced his retirement. Top 3 in interview on Ben and Woods history?
Oh, yeah.
Like, easily, right?
It's funny, because
Freddie Couples, Joey Votto.
If Joey Votto was a mediocre player, then he's kind of
a jerk.
He's a jerk. But because he's, you know, a Hall of Famer, he's quirky.
Yes.
That's the only difference.
You win 20 in the show, you can let the fungus grow back on your shower shoes, and the press will say you're colorful. That's him. He's colorful.
He's colorful.
Well, he had fun, man, and a lot of guys don't. He had fun with the game. He had fun talking about the game. He's one of my favorite players. I did buy I've Got a Votto Still Bangs shirt. I was going to wear it today, but I remembered I had the round table. So, but I love Joey Votto. I love everything he's
about. I would have worked on the round table.
Yeah, probably.
Loved and we did. Wouldn't all be wearing black T-shirts
That's
then.
Probably true.
Yeah, so I was thinking at first when I saw the news, I was like, oh, I got to go pull probably the Brandon Drury story when we had him on our show. But then John Boy posted this interaction from a couple years ago, I think this was. He was still with the Reds. And Mad Dog had him on High Heat, Joey Votto. And you want to talk about a troll job? Listen to this. I'm sure we played this when it happened.
I'm sure we did.
It was such a good clip. Wanted to bring it back.
A couple of months ago, you said that Zach Greinke and I are a hall of very good ball players. I think Zach and I would agree. You may be right. But I get the gist of what's going on here. I know what you're doing. You're looking down on us. A couple small market Midwest ball players. Just because we're not big city, just like you. Mr. New York City, Sirius XM radio star. Mr. National Television, ESPN star. With your Fifth Avenue ties and your crisp pocket squares. Your tailored suits and your polished shoes. And your hair. Your perfectly coiffed Broadway hair. Must be nice to sit atop that Madison Avenue ivory tower, looking down on us with those luscious locks. Not everyone can be the next Roger Peckinpah, Mad Dog. You should be ashamed of yourself. You're a disgrace.
I love it.
Has anyone ever said Mad Dog has perfectly coiffed hair? I don't know.
I'm looking at it now. Doesn't look too bad, but he is in like a really nice suit and a nice tie, and he's got his pocket square. I mean, it's really, really good.
Now, Joey probably can't see him during all of that. He's just guessing because he's on a remote camera, and you don't usually get a monitor anymore. So, yeah.
Kudos also to Mad Dog for once letting somebody else have the floor, just letting him
and getting the joke
and getting the joke. Yeah. Man, usually it would panic me. I'd be what? Like, and then once you realize it's a joke, man, it's so good.
I got another update here. So a couple days ago, I told you guys about Daryl Doucette, and we talked about the quarterback for Team USA flag football and
coming to the Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and he was kind of representing the guys that have brought the flag football sport to the Olympics and saying, look, you can't just like automatically input the NFL stars into our sport. It's a different type of football. We helped grow this game to this point. Let these guys have their shot first. And he's talking about how they're going to hold tryouts and everything like that.
So that was...
And I understood where
I understand his point. I do. Of course you want to go play in the Olympics, Daryl. I totally understand that, man.
Then I saw the interview that he did with TMZ Sports yesterday, and I thought, this guy is absolutely delusional, and he's lost his mind. Listen to who he thinks he's better than.
Listen to this.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Sounds like Ben Higgins saying that he could beat Steve Sugimoto at golf. That's what it sounds like.
I'm sure that he does know more than Patrick Mahomes about some of the strategies of flag football. But I think he's underestimating the talent gap between himself and Patrick Mahomes.
At the end
Mahomes.
Of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, come on. What?
I mean, he acknowledges. He's more accurate. Yeah, you know, better arm strength.
Stronger,
he's got all the, yeah.
Faster.
But Super Bowl rings.
My mind is going to make up that difference. I'll tell you what. The mind doesn't make up the difference in pro sports. It can be a differentiating factor between two great athletes. Someone who really knows the game and is savvy and smart. But you don't make it in pro sports because you're smart. Pro sports because you're smart. You make it because you're athletic and talented. And that's why Patrick Mahomes gets paid millions and millions and wins Super Bowls, and you're the flag football guy that no one had ever heard of until this week.
I think I'm better. What does he say again?
He says, I'm glad you asked.
I think I'm better than Patrick Mahomes.
At the end of the day, I feel like I'm better than Patrick Mahomes because of my IQ of the game. I know he's right now the best in the league. I know he's more accurate. I know he has all these intangibles. But when it comes to flag football, I feel like I know more than him.
Okay. I mean, I guess Patrick Mahomes would go, all right, well, let's give me 45 minutes.
And yeah.
Give me 45 minutes, man.
Now, you know what the interesting thing would be? Give him 0 minutes. You tell me in the huddle what the rules are here, and I'll see if I can go up against this guy. And which one of our teams does better?
That is...
I don't know.
I guess I like the confidence. You have to have it if you want to be, you want to be good.
Whew. Yeah. And finally, got a new streaming service on the
way. I feel like I'm better looking than Brad Pitt. I feel like.
Because of your IQ.
I feel like I'm better looking.
He's got the muscles, the tan, and the hair.
IQ. I feel like I'm better looking than him. Please don't take that out of context, because that would be very bad.
All right. Saw a story yesterday that there is a new streaming service coming that nobody asked for.
Are we sure that this is real? Because I thought it was fake.
I'm reading from Variety.com, and they've got their finger on the pulse of Hollywood. And so, you've got Netflix, Max, Hulu, Peacock.
Got them all.
Paramount Plus.
Every one of them.
Well, be on the lookout for the new... Chick-fil-A streaming platform.
I hate it here.
Yes, Chick-fil-A.
I'm ready for the asteroid.
What sort of content are they going to be putting out?
What did you think? It says the fast food chain is working with Hollywood production companies and studios to develop a streaming service that will be centered around family-friendly, mostly unscripted original shows. Family-friendly reality.
You just know
television?
That there's going to be like a Wednesday night baseball package on Chick-fil-A, and we're going
to
have to watch a Padres game next season. Like two Padres games next season on Wednesday nights are going to be on Chick-fil-A TV.
I'm Don Orsillo, and this is my spicy chicken sandwich. Welcome to Petco Park. It's
Chick-fil-A. According to Variety, they are also in talks to license and acquire content that they didn't produce, and one of those programs would be a game show that's already been given a 10-episode run.
Do they want a radio show? let's just try it. You have money. I feel like when you just have money to burn, they're like, what should we do with it? don't know. Let's just
are those Eat More Chicken cows going to get their own programming?
Let's call Kirk Cameron and see what he's up to and do some programming with him. Oh my!
Now, I don't know where this number ranks because it says here Chick-fil-A has 3,000, just over 3,000 restaurants in America, and Chick-fil-A has the highest per store sales of any fast food restaurant.
I'm not surprised,
even with the lower number.
Yeah, you've seen the drive-through lines.
It's, yeah, bananas.
They're doing quite well.
Yeah,
had that peach shake.
Oh God!
Recently,
I won't let myself have it because I know it'll be so good.
I've had it before,
that I can't even let myself go there.
I saw that it's like, oh, peach shake is back. I'm like, I can't do it. I know it's.
I had one. I gave myself one. I give myself one a season.
Yeah,
because if I had my superpower of being able to eat what I want and never get fat, I would have. You'd be sucking on one right now. You can rest assured. The only problem is
every show.
The only problem is there's little peach bits in it, and it gets stuck in the straw. Then you give it a pull, and you. And then you have like a little bit of
the pipe gets backed up.
You have like a bit of peach in your throat. And you're so you like the best way to eat it is to rip the top off and just drink it from the top. But then you get peach mustache after that. But I'm telling you, when you have one sip of it, you do this. You have one sip, you go. You have to hold yourself up on the panel. You're like, oh my God, it's literally unbelievable.
So good.
It's I think they're still around if you want to try one. They are really good. Have you ever had one?
Yeah, this season, but I think a year or two ago I had one, and I can't let myself ever do it again.
It'll get you, dude. It will get you. All right, well, we look forward to that. What are they going to call it? Chick-fil-A
TV
Network?
Chick-fil-A streaming service.
There's no details yet. I don't know when it's coming out. I don't know how much it's going to cost. I don't know any of that. But yeah,
everything. I mean, you know, everything they touch is turned to gold so far. So I'm interested to give it a look. I'm going to keep an open mind about it.
I also saw before we go to break, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, we did have somebody, Adrian, tweeted us in and said because we're all wearing black T-shirts.
Yeah.
I mentioned it earlier in the show, and he said we look like the Blue Man Group, and then he put up a Photoshop of us.
Yeah, all right.
I just had to throw that in there. Very well done, Adrian. Well done.
I hate it here.
Don't forget, you can tune in this afternoon and every Thursday. Not this afternoon, this morning at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable.
Look at that.
Featuring Ben Woods. I'm very happy. Annie and Elston, Gwen and Chris, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. It's pizza royalty, Woods.
Look at Ben's face.
All right, it's
you're
our
so happy.
Throwback Thursday clips coming up next. Pauly will take us down memory lane when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Traffic next.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Throwback Thursday, Ben and Woods. Pauly always does a good job diving into our archives on Thursdays. We have now 6+ years of history to draw from, which is kind of fun because I always forget about some of these segments as well. I
forgot what we did yesterday.
And yeah, exactly. And I believe today we're going back 4 years into the deep into the pandemic.
Yeah, buddy.
Like 4 months in.
Yeah, I hadn't seen you guys in like 4 or 5 months at this
so
point.
Weird.
We're up at the
that.
Corona Cave. Yep. Pauly's the only one in the studio by himself.
I think we had Zoom cameras. We weren't obviously on YouTube yet, but I think we were able to like at least see each other so we could kind of get some communication going. But
what you were in my bubble, I was in your bubble, which means our families are kind of, we were in the bubble together. And you you actually brought Bo over to the Corona Kid.
Sure did.
How old would Bo have been in August of 2020? That's like 2.5?
Two and a half.
Okay. Yep. So yeah, Bo is in, and we've had him in several times. He loves to show off his Padres knowledge. And this is one of those first clips. You're going to hear some throwback names, but it's just to see Bo now. I mean, now he's like, hey, Dad. Can you help me shave?
Yeah, he's a little man, dude.
The voice, it absolutely murdered me yesterday when I found this clip.
Say hi, everyone.
Oh. Hi, Bobo.
Say hi, Paul.
He can't hear you.
There it is.
Oh, dude.
That was nice.
You want to do the Padres lineup like you did last night?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. Jake? No. Eric?
Woods.
No, not Eric Woods. Eric Ha.
Small.
Will?
Why did I say that?
Will?
Miles.
Yep. Manny.
Manny.
Fernando.
Tatis.
Very good.
Wow.
That is a smart kid.
Well done, sir.
That you've got right there.
Almost got me. Really. It's so weird to hear that.
Well, less than 4 years later, he's sitting in here and naming each player by number. And taking down a tier one in a competition.
Carlos said Ben looking at him in disgust. He hates him.
That's Taylor.
I
love Bo.
That voice, man.
What a cute voice.
You want to do the Padres lineup like you did last night?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to get me, bro. I'm serious.
I found that clip last night, and I played it on the computer. My wife she was weeping. She goes, he's so big now.
He's so big, dude.
Oh, man.
Picking him up from school, and he's just like walking. He's like, what's up? I'm like, how's your day? Good. What'd you play? Kickball, basketball. All right. You want a snack? Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, man.
It will always be just one of my favorite things about this show. However long the Ben and Woods show lasts, we started in March of 2018.
Right when he was born.
He was like 6 weeks old.
He was 6 weeks old, dude. And he has grown up with this show. It's
Hannah
nuts.
Brought him in on our first morning after the show, and I got to meet her, and I got to see Bo, who's just 6 weeks.
Tiny.
Little. And to see him now, it's truly special. It's
watching him work on his backhand in the street yesterday. Yeah, I'm like, good God. It's amazing. He has literally, this show, he's grown up.
And everybody, it's just a bit. I don't really hate Taylor, even though he calls me Ben and Woods.
He does. Who's that? Ben and Woods.
Ben and Woods. No, it's just Ben. Dad is Woods. I'm Ben.
So good.
Well, that one pulled at the emotional heartstrings. This is a throwback clip that Woods probably isn't super fond of, but
I don't care anymore.
This was from 2 years ago this week, so 2 years after Bo came in, and
good message to get out to everybody.
Yes,
a certain age, you know, after 45 or so, you got to make sure. Go to the doctor. You want to get it checked, just to make sure that nothing's growing down there.
That's exactly right.
But when that time comes, make sure you follow all of the directions.
Right. Correct.
Very carefully. Here's about a minute of Woods explaining what happened to him this week in 2022.
I told you guys a couple of days ago that I finally got around to doing the Cologuard. And then I told you how I took it down to the UPS store, and the girl looked at me and just said, you're good, just leave it there. So, yes,
she knows what's
on the front porch, a Cologuard box. Guys, I sent it to myself.
You sent yourself doo-doo in the mail.
My own doo-doo.
Why? You might be the first person ever to send yourself your own doo-doo in the mail.
What did I say on the air? Like, I always thought I would send a box of my doo-doo to somebody as a prank or to one of my haters. I sent it to myself. Also proving the fact that I hate myself so much. Man, so
poop again.
So on the box, it's sent to Stephen Woods, and then all I had to do was peel this little strip off the bottom, rip the label off, and then it's their return address. It goes back to them. I was so domed out by the entire process, neglected that step, and I sent it. Came back to me. Mm. So then I had to just roll the dice, rip the label off, and try to resend it. Then guess what happened? Sorry, my sample had traveled across the country.
Too old.
It's too old. Had to do it again.
Expired.
Oh, expired. God. Yep.
I thought that was incredibly funny. Of course, I got my own comeuppance a few weeks later when it was my turn.
I will never forget this.
To do the pull-up bar. I did not send it to myself.
Yours is worse.
I sent it in. I followed the directions to the T.
Clearly not.
But apparently, my sample was rejected for being too large. We need less, sir.
This is way too... What is this guy? What happened to this dude? I can't work with this.
What did you eat?
I still... like, Shohei Ohtani makes how much a year? Like, all $70 million? Yeah. The guy that works there, that does that, that's the guy that deserves $70 million a year. $70 million a year. And he may
in
be
the Coligard mailroom
in the Coligard unboxing area.
Oh, yeah, Ben Higgins from San Diego.
Oh my God! Oh,
is Ben Higgins a grizzly bear?
Is he a bear? It's unbelievable, man. That guy deserves $70 million per year.
I don't know that that's enough.
I don't know that it is either. I don't know that you could pay me just me all day. They're just.
I'm gonna assume they're provided some sort of.
Doesn't matter.
PPR, personal PPE, personal protective
equipment. You put me in a suit of armor, a bubble. You put your hands through the bubble.
Like, like scuba tanks or something? Where they've got
tanks, all of it. 70 million. All right, Woods, welcome to Kohler Arts, your first day here in the mailroom. All right.
I still don't think I can do
this
it.
This is what we do here. Just the whole day. I'd be 110.
Just opening
pounds.
The box. Even if I was in a bubble and a suit or all that.
Paulie,
opening the box and just seeing it and be like,
you're coming. Just looking at it. It's disgusting. If you go in the bathroom and somebody else is in there, you're like,
especially if it's Ben and he just left a 10-pound turd in there.
I'm telling you, dude.
Holy crap.
And then it's like, everybody has to do this. It's a good way to do it. Fine. But that day when you're in your bathroom and the door shut and you're like, what has become of me? And the thing is, they give you that thing you wrap around your toilet. You're like, oh, this sucks so bad. The net. And you're like, my wife's in the other room. Like, this sucks so bad, dude. There's got to be a way when I don't have to do this. And then when you grab it and you have to add the liquid, that's it. You're like,
how long was it before Hannah saw you different in a better light after that?
It was a while. It was a long while. She took me to my colonoscopy and all that. And after, I was just like, it's fine.
It's fine. I get it.
6 weeks, 8 weeks, 2 months, 3 months. I don't care.
I fully understand. Mailing it to yourself.
What just happened. So I fully understand. Holy cow. Yeah, you put the little flag in it. Yeah, I remember. Remember all of it. It's the worst. The worst.
Plus, if you're the mailman even. Like, you pick up the box. Does it say Coligard on the side?
Oh, yeah. You know exactly what's up, dude.
I'm just sending him some reading material.
It is so
not what you
gross.
Think it is.
So gross. All right. Go to break.
All right. We'll come back. Final segment of our show before the roundtable. We'll do a quick look ahead at the Mets-Padres four-game series starting tonight. At Petco Parks, coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. Oh, those Mets. They are in town. Got here early yesterday. They had the first game yesterday. So they walked it off, headed to the plane, flew to San Diego. We're probably comfortably in their hotels by a reasonable hour and are now up and ready for the San Diego day and the start of a four-game series tonight. At Petco Park.
Four gamer.
Woo, mama. We'll talk about this important series in our final segment here right after our last check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So, start with some good news. Padres will open the four-game series with the three pitchers that have performed the best most recently in their starting rotation, with Dylan Cease, Joe Musgrove, and Michael King handling the duties at the start of the series. Today is Dylan Cease's turn, and while he has been... Well, a little up and down earlier in the season. It's mostly been up lately for Dylan Cease. Did have the weird rain delay game and then not a great start, but bounced back in his last outing and looked pretty good.
He had a no-hitter, so that was pretty good.
That was really good. Now, Dylan Cease did face the Mets back on June 16th.
Not great.
No, I mean, not, the whole series didn't go well for the Padres in New York. They got swept. But Cease was hit around. 7 hits, 7 runs in 3 2/3 innings, walked 3, only struck out 5. Might even go down as his worst start as a San Diego Padre. So he'll be looking to turn that around for sure. Don't know that that's always telling.
No.
You know, whether that means that'll carry over and he'd just have his number, or he had a bad day and now they'll see the real Dylan Cease and go, this is not the guy we hit around in New York. Tonight for the Mets, Luis Severino will pitch, and he is coming off an outstanding start. He went a complete game. You don't see many of those lately. 4-hit shutout against the Miami Marlins his last time out, and that was on Saturday. So 4 days rest, and then he is back. And while that, you know, so he's hot, you're facing a tough pitcher, that's true. You're also facing a guy who threw 113 pitches with no extra day of rest coming in. So my guess is the Mets are going to be somewhat, if not cautious, they're certainly going to be very aware of his pitch count and where he's going. And, you know, Padres, even in yesterday's game, what did they get on Simeon Woods-Richardson? First inning, he threw like 30-some pitches.
Yeah, they drove it up.
You know, they tend to do a good job at making starting pitchers work. I would imagine tonight that will be a key in trying to work Severino, who's coming off a good outing, but a deep outing with a lot of pitches. Make that guy work, and, you know, I think the Mets have a decent bullpen, but you'd probably rather get into that than see Severino go deep into the game. So that'll be one of the keys for tonight's series opener.
He's a hard thrower. I mean, his four-seamer sits around 96, 97, Benny. Throws a sinker a lot as well, so it's kind of a nasty pitch mix. And then the sweeper is also a pitch he throws as well. If you're Manny Machado, be ready to see some sweepers, I'm assuming, coming your way. You just hope he hangs one. But he's been really good for them, man. They got him, picked him up in the offseason. They've really helped him. You know, he stayed healthy for the most part, and he's a good pitcher. I mean, but we were talking off air, you know, the hard throwers, this is a contact team. You know, the San Diego Padres, knock on wood, don't strike out a ton. So, you know, you have a really good shot at beating him today. But, you know, it's the other side of the lineup, too, that Dylan Cease is going to have to navigate through. They've got some really, really good players, Benny, in Francisco Lindor, who is now, you know, being mentioned. And I think Passan wrote an MVP piece about Lindor that dropped today. So I've not read it yet, but he's been a really good player for them. And, of course, you got the polar bear who likes hitting at Petco Park as well. So should be a good one, man. It's going to be really playoff-esque. And what we do know is there'll be, what, 160,000 people in the next 4 days watching this team. So if you're out there, you know, be loud and get nasty.
Padres will be going up against righties the first two games of the series and then lefties the last two games. I mean, if you've been observing what Mike Shildt has done, I would think that we'll see Tyler Wade at shortstop today and tomorrow, and then probably Mason McCoy on Saturday and Sunday. Again, my concern, and we'll talk about it in the roundtable as well, how much offense are you giving up there? 4 more days of those guys, and, you know, waiting until Ha-Sung Kim is off the injured list without just basically without doing anything. Just hoping those guys know. Hopefully they're defensively they come through.
Because if they make
some defensive mistakes, then you're really not getting anything out of that spot. So we'll see.
That's really all I'm looking for 2 9-hole hitters. Right. Two. I mean, really, just don't screw up defensively. Anything you give us offensively is a boost. You've got a really good lineup. You do. You have a 1-7. And the catchers aren't really hitting right now, either of them. So I think, you know, 1-7, this team is really, really solid. And you know, keep that rolling against Severino. Who throws? It's
tomorrow.
Severino.
Yeah, then it's Paul Blackburn versus Joe Musgrove.
Okay.
David Peterson against Michael King on Saturday. And then Sunday's finale is Martin Perez against Jose Quintana.
Didn't he carve us up, Quintana? I think that's the one that almost broke me earlier in the season. I think he carved the Padres up. So
6 innings, 2 hits, 1 run.
Yeah.
6 strikeouts.
Right.
So
yeah.
Sounds about right.
Not that it's impossible, but this first 3 games are the ones where you think the Padres, if anything tips toward their favor, it would be the Padres. The last game, the Mets are looking like, okay, I like our chances in that one. Remember, the standings are important now. especially when you're going up against a team like the Mets, who are the first team outside of the National League playoff picture. They're currently 5.5 games behind the Padres, and the Diamondbacks, and 1.5 games behind the Braves for that last playoff spot. So they clearly will have this series circled as their best opportunity to go in and make up ground on a team that they have to pass at least one of those teams. And they'll go, well, let's sweep the Padres and we'll get within 1.5 games. Now, if the Padres win the series, take 3 out of 4, that would leave them 7.5 games up with about 30 to play. That's close to insurmountable. Obviously, anything can happen, but you are in a dominant position. Even if you split the two and you're still 5.5 games up with 30 to play, that's a huge mountain to climb. So the Mets pretty much say, we have to win 3 out of 4 or 4 if we want any chance of catching the Padres in this playoff race. So huge series here.
They're going, they're going to be playing these games like their hair's on fire for sure. And, let the chips fall where they may, man. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a really good atmosphere. They're a good team, but I do feel like the Padres are a better team. But yeah, we're playing at home. You know, take your opportunities. We need it tonight with Dylan Cease. He's been our ace this year, and he's got to pitch like one tonight.
It's an off day for both the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. So you win, you're 3.5 back, and you're back in the lead of the wild card race. You lose, you're 4.5 back, and you're into second place in the wild card race. Both teams will be back tomorrow. The Diamondbacks are still on the road. They go to Boston for 3. That's a big series
because
the Red Sox are just outside the playoff picture. They need wins as badly as any team right now. So they got 3 in Boston. And the Dodgers are at home with the Tampa Bay Rays in town for 3 interleague play. Rays did a nice number on the Diamondbacks last week. Hey, go ahead and do the same thing to the Dodgers this weekend. But tonight, neither of them are in action. So Padres kind of control their own half-game destiny tonight in the NL West in the wild card race, depending on what they do against the New York Mets.
Got to have, a bare minimum a split of a 4-game series,
yeah.
Benny. You don't want this thing to, get back into that mode where you can't let the Mets come into your house and do their thing on you. You need to take care of business tonight. And you got the arms to do it. Bullpen's ready to go. So yeah, these are huge games, man. I can't wait. I'm gut checking as we speak. Like, all right, everybody ready for this for the next month or so. It's gonna be exciting.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no reason you should lack any faith in the Padres.
No. Are they going to do that stupid march through the gas lamp this weekend?
Do they do that, too?
The Mets march?
Yeah.
Is that them?
They do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's, like, bigger than the Dodgers.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Where was I? In a cave? I think it was on my ayahuasca retreat or something. But did they? They do that? Oh, boy.
I can find it. I know for a fact they do.
I mean, there'll be some Mets fans there. It's a New York team. You got people all over the place. I think it'll be mostly Padres fans.
Oh, gosh. Janita's Mets fans are the worst. I hope members didn't sell their tickets. They're not the worst. We know who the worst is, but it's close second. I don't like the Mets. I don't even want to see Italian Paul's face. All right.
You got the Jesse Winker subplot, his return to Petco.
His return to Petco.
Didn't think he'd be back again this year after the Nationals only make the one visit, but he gets traded and now another trip.
Somebody made the point, you ruined his playoff chances once this season when he was with the Nationals. Let's go ahead and do it again now that he's with the Mets. It's going to be a tough challenge. I did not know they do the...
Oh, yeah, they like take over downtown.
Oh, God, this bit... You guys going into games?
Going Saturday.
You are going Saturday? What about you, Benjamin?
I'm excited. It's going to feel like a playoff atmosphere.
Really will.
I may go Sunday on my way into work for the day game in the afternoon. Oh, no, wait. I've got my club championship this weekend, so probably not going to go on Saturday.
You getting some practice in?
I did. I got some practice in on the simulator.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Earlier this week.
How's the game?
I think pretty good. I'm just going to try to really focus on... One shot at a time. I
don't know that anybody cares. It's like me talking about my ABs on Sunday.
That's all these guys I cover in whatever sport it is, They always take everything one at a
time. That's right, just one at a time.
I'm not as good at that. I like to look ahead. I'm, you know, project things. Hey, well, if I can just birdie one of the next four holes and play, you know, I do a lot of that, like sportscastery, but maybe not best for my own personal success. So I'm going to channel my inner pro athlete and just go the very boring one shot, one swing at a time.
Lisa says, quote, I've got my my club championship humble brag. It's at the it's at Goat
the
Hill.
Goat.
It's the goat.
It's yeah. the goat.
This isn't the fancy
golf for the common man.
Yeah, it's golf for the common
and
man
and woman.
How do you like your chances?
Well, in the like the gross overall competition, I have zero chance.
Right.
It's like flag football guy going up against Patrick Mahomes. There are better golfers.
I was
than
hoping
me.
You were going to give us a soundbite
with the strokes. You know, my handicap's about a five.
You get five strokes.
There's a chance that I could make some noise in the net competition.
I would like to see you make some noise.
But you know, even to do that, I'll have to shoot around even par, which I have done and can do on my good days at the GOAT. I've shot three unders. My record.
Will you do your bit? Your parlor trick on Monday?
Go through the rounds?
Walk us through your best rounds?
It's 27 each day, so I get it. That's a lot of golf to remember.
Pick one.
I will do my parlor trick for you.
I love that parlor trick. He will go shot by shot, and he remembers everything. We're killing time because we have a round table in like 3 minutes.
I know. I'm hungry, so I've got like 5 minutes to scarf down some round table pizza.
Stay right here.
And then welcome everybody into the commercial-free roundtable.
Hope these topics are good.
The ones that I came up with?
Oh, either any of them.
Feel free to bring up some topics your own.
I didn't know that you wanted help with roundtable topics.
I didn't ask for it, but I'm certainly willing to entertain it and accept it if it comes my way.
Because you've never asked for much help on the roundtable.
Would you have wanted me to ask you? I didn't feel like I feel like it was already enough that you were here that asking you for more help on the round table is probably
not a good idea.
Not a good idea.
Yeah.
But if you had something that just popped in your mind, feel free. Blurt it out at any moment.
Well, I'm excited to rehash what we've just done for the last 4 hours. We'll do it again for one more hour.
There's always a semblance of that on the round table.
Yeah. Make Adam come up with the topics.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Would he host it then?
Hey.
Free buddy.
Shortstop.
Welcome in.
All right, that's it for us. Back tomorrow at 6 for Ben and Woods. Otherwise, stay tuned for the roundtable. For Paul Reindel, Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Talk to you in a minute here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.